I want to just share with you tonight some principles that I think are going to be very electrifying, really, because it's a simple message, but it's a powerful message, because every day of our life, we are being delivered. Amen? When we're being delivered from darkness into the power or to the kingdom of his dear son, it is an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing process. And if you look at Exodus chapter 3 tonight, we're going to begin there in verses 7 and 8. The Lord said, you know, I've seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, it's an interesting thought when you read that scripture, because God sees the affliction of his people. And I don't want you to think for one minute that God doesn't see the trouble or the affliction you may be under, or the oppression that you may be feeling. And it matters not on what level. It doesn't matter if you're a teen and it's oppression that you're feeling from your friends and their lack of acceptance or your approval by your peers, or whether it's in a huge business deal or a loss financially, or whether it's physically. It doesn't really matter what level it is. Understand, God sees the affliction you're under. Then he says this, he knows and he hears your pain. He knows and he hears your pain. That's why we can read about Isaiah 53. He was acquainted with our sorrows. He knows them and he hears them. And so when no one else is around and you're thinking, you know, they don't get it, God gets it. God understands. And that's the compassion of a God that we serve. And not only does he know them or hear them, or see them, he's made a decision to come down to them. But he comes down to do something. He comes down to deliver. He comes down to deliver. Now, the word deliver means it is the process of being set free, to rescue or to release a person. So Jesus said, I hear, I see, I know the affliction you're under, the oppression of that heavy taskmaster. And the taskmaster could be any number of things. But God said, I'm acquainted with it, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm coming down to set you free, to rescue you, and to release you. Now notice something about this whole Pharaoh thing. Pharaoh did not possess Israel. Pharaoh oppressed Israel. And I don't believe a Christian, a bona fide Christian, can be possessed of dark at the same time he's possessed of light. But he can be oppressed. Can definitely be oppressed in the soulical realm to the point that it alters your behavior, your outlook, your perception, and it will determine your direction based on your choices of despair. And so the enemy knows how to oppress a person's soul. But John 16:33 is the will of God. He said this, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have, what? Peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In other words, he says, in me, you're going to have nothing missing, nothing broken. So right away, in the middle of my oppression, I have to start having expectation. I got to start having confidence. I have to start believing that God hears, knows, and sees, and he's coming down to what? Rescue me and set me free. So if I can begin to believe that, if I can get my focus on that, then there is a way out of what I'm experiencing right now. So I know whether it's my parents are going through a divorce and I'm feeling like in between and I'm feeling abandoned or rejected by my father, or maybe it's because of some business deal that had gone sour or a marriage that is not going well. It doesn't really matter. The devil will use anything to oppress his people. But in the middle of the oppression, I've got to know he sees me, hears me, and knows about it. And he's coming down to deliver, because it's his plan for me to have peace and not tribulation. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 12 is the key here then. You and I have got to make a decision. Are you willing to fight for peace? You have to be willing to fight for it, because the devil will withstand you as long as you're willing to submit to his oppression. Israel would not come out from under them until they got a deliverer. And even then, 3 days later, they wanted to go back, because at least there they had their needs met. Now they're going to the wilderness. They got to believe God for miracles. But look at this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So I suppose it's sort of like this. Your weapon of choice for this battle, what is it? Therein lies the victory, or the key in deliverance, is your weapon of choice. So let's spin the wheel. Put my slide up there of the wheel. Do you have it there? Let's spin the wheel tonight and see which one will determine freedom. Well, let's see. Would the anointing do it? Could. How about the Word of God? All right. Your faith? The name? His blood? What about your mouth? Well, it's your weapon of choice tonight. And not necessarily will any of those work a second time in the same scenario, but the Spirit of God will put in your hand a weapon of His choice. I believe these are the 6 basic foundational weapons of deliverance. Let's take a look at them, please. John chapter 8 and verse 32, the Word of God declares, "And you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth, what? Shall make you free." First of all, the Word of God. You see, the Word of God makes us free because it does something. It defines us, who you are, where you are, and what you're worth. Half the battle is knowing who you are. Half the battle is knowing where you are. I'm not under the heavy hand of the oppressor. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. So see, the Word of God positions me. The Word of God tells me who I am. And the Word of God explains to me, or details to me, my worth or my value to God. I've told people so many times, if you were the only sinner on the earth, Jesus would have still died for you. Because he loves you with an unmatchable love. And see, it's the Word that helps you to understand your value and your worth. Because so many people today have written off a lot of demographics, you know. If they're poor and they're uneducated and they're in a foreign land like Haiti. And we've been going to Haiti for years. And you cannot get the U.S. government to do anything for Haiti. And the former Secretary of State under a former administration said this verbatim: "Nobody in America cares for little black children in Haiti." But God cares. God knows. And God sees. And God will come down to deliver. So when I go to Haiti, yes, I bring a soccer ball. Yes, I bring some chocolate. Yes, I bring some food. And yes, I pass out some beans and rice. But I give them the Word of God, because they must know who they are, where they are, and their worth. Because the nations of the world are telling them that they're not worth saving. And a lot of people will tell you that. You're not worth it. You have no value. Why should we help you? Why would God help you? You're a junkie. You've been incarcerated most of your life. You're mentally ill. That's why you've got to have the Word of God as a weapon of choice, because if you don't understand your value, how much God loves you and how much you are gifted to contribute to a generation, don't write your life off. And I want to just tell someone in here this evening, you've got great value. And I've always told people this. You may have done what they say you have done, but you are not who they say you are. Because sometimes through our sin, our actions, we assume an identity. You've committed murder, and they say, there's that murderer. No, I may have murdered someone, but now that I'm born again. You see, I may have done what you said I did, but I'm not who you say I am. You say, you're nothing but a junkie. No, 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 you have to understand. There was a day that I was addicted to drugs, but now I found Christ, and I'm not a junkie anymore. You see, I'm not going to tell you what I am. Based on what I've used to do. And that's what the devil will do. He will create an identity for you that is based on action of yourself or others. Oh, he loves to create scenarios where there is sexual abuse and put the responsibility on the abused. It was your fault. You looked at him that way. You shouldn't have done that. You asked for it. We hear this all the time in the court of law. The defendant's attorney will often try to malign the character of the victim. And the press picks up on it. And suddenly headlines are labeling that woman as having no reason or value or even any right to vindication because she deserved it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Church, the first weapon and choice of deliverance is you have to understand who you are, where you are, and what you're worth. This creates a platform of confidence. You see, God's word makes it possible for you to put on God. Now, that's important. He said, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against any wile of the devil, any tactic of the enemy. So the word of God helps you to put on God. Let me ask this question. What assails God? The only thing that assails God is what can assail you when you put on God. Now I'm trying to think. What can assail God? What can defeat God? What can cause God to lose? Nothing. So if I put on God, then I'm unbeatable. I'm undefeatable. I am more than a conqueror. In other words, if I'm putting on the word, I'm understanding now that I'm lifted to another level. It becomes my deliverance. Secondly, your faith. Perhaps it's your faith tonight. You see, 1 John chapter 5 and 4 says, for whatever, let's read it together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Our faith. It's what overcomes the world. Let me make this statement. Only what you and I believe is permitted to happen. Only what you and I believe is empowered to happen. So you see, my faith is critical here because what I believe will determine my destiny. My core belief system, how I make choices every day, will build my future. So it's important that I have faith. My faith determines something. And I began to proclaim that in our little worship segment there. A sphere of influence. Our faith determines boundaries. It determines limits to the adversary. In other words, it's sort of like you scent your territory. So when another who seems to think he could take over your pride walks into your neighborhood, he smells you. Have you ever noticed that in the animal kingdom? They kind of mark their territories. And they do that to let every adversary know, occupied, and you're not welcome. And if you cross the line, you and me gonna have to get it on. So the adversary already knows going into the battle that he's got a fight on his hand, because he has the scent of your boundaries, which is your faith. Your faith and my faith creates something the Apostle Paul talked about in his second letter to the Corinthians. If you'd like to turn there, just look at it on the screen. It's in chapter 10 and it's verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. God's given you and me a sphere, and it's established by our faith, and it includes certain things. It includes people. It includes my children. It includes this church. This is my sphere, and my faith has scented it. And I know now, see, I'm not ready to go out to pasture yet. When we were in Africa and we were going down the, was it the Nile? Where were we at? And we saw the big water buffalo laying by the side of the water. Big old thing. And we asked the guy, what is this? He said, oh, that's one that's been defeated. And he now is living out his days by the water because he's been kicked out of his sphere. That's not me. I'm not ready yet to go by the water and eat grass and lick up some liquid and then roll over and die. You see, and neither are you, because God has given you a sphere, a territory which you and you alone control. No, not your decisions, my decisions. Not your choices, my choices. You say, well, that's not true, Pastor. Other people's choices affect me. That's true. They do affect us. But they don't determine our destiny, because you're not the Lord of my sphere. I am. I determine my wife's happiness. You can make her happier, but I make her happy. You understand what I'm saying? I make my children happy. You can give them some, make them happier, but I'm the primary source of their happy. Because they're under my authority. They're under my sphere. Paul goes on to say, if for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Not only do you have a territory that you are scenting by your faith, but God says it has the capacity to be enlarged. So where you are in life tonight, you say, well, you know, I've just lost everything. I've just had this setback. I've just had this problem. That's only momentary. Because the sphere that God gave you has a capacity to be enlarged. So now what you need to do is walk the perimeters of it and let the devil know you're here by your faith. Number three. The name. Did you guys get my bottle? My spray bottle? It's in your car. Well, I'll give you time to get it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a what? And what about this name? Is above what? It's above every name. He said it's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God of the Father. So it's interesting that this name makes every other name bow. Isn't that interesting? It also says that it makes them confess or come in agreement that Jesus is Lord. So now when I use the name, I am releasing an authority within my sphere that you have just crossed the boundaries of, that when I use this name, you have no choice but to get down on your knees and confess that he is Lord. It's powerful. So when you are fighting or made a decision to fight, you're going to have to say, all right, devil, I've got my weapons. I'm using all six of them on you. Hi-ya-ya-ya. I'm using all six of them on you. Ha! I'm using my faith, and I'm using the word, and I'm using the name. So now I can go face to face with my adversary who's oppressing me and speak the name of Jesus. Watch this. The name of Jesus is not a conjunction in prayer. You know, kind of an add-on. In Jesus' name, amen. No, 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 no. You see, it's not just a spiritual, like, title, appellation. It is a weapon of war. Say it with me. A weapon of war. The name of Jesus is a weapon of war. If you say the name, you have drawn the line. You've said to the devil, get on your knee. Now, if you don't want to use the name, I remember being in high school and I had a gym teacher who said, don't ever make a fist in my presence. Because if you make a fist, you have to use it. And if you think you're man enough to use it, come on up here and throw the first punch. But just know this, I get to throw the second one. Because he'd make you mad. And you'd go, he said, don't ever do that to me. Because if you make a fist, you're going to use it. Now, if you're going to use the name, know this. The devil is going to throw a counterpunch. So if you're not serious, just put the name back in your pocket of your religiosity and don't use it. Because he's going to whoop you. But if you start using the name, you are telling the devil, let's get it on. Come on. You think you can defeat this old boy? No, you cannot. I'm coming out because a God that I serve knows, sees, and hears my oppression and has come down to rescue me from this oppression. So I'm using the name. Now, the name is self-anointed. Now, let me just... You know, you say, well, I need the anointing. You know, you just need the name. Now, this is a cool little water bottle. Let me just illustrate this to you. Go to Song. Don't just put up on the screen. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Watch this. When I say the name of Jesus. Jesus. Is that coming down on you? Jesus. Your name is like an ointment poured forth. Jesus! Shanda baba kite, let him out of soul. Pa! Get you, devil. You see what I'm saying? When you say the name, it's like an ointment. It comes with a self-anointing. So you lay the anointing down on that circumstance. You say, Jesus! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love that. That is so cool. See, I don't think we understand the significance of what we possess. You know, they sing the song, say the name of Jesus, say the name. We're going in. Now I'm always going to be thinking, squirt, squirt, say the name. Squirt, squirt of Jesus. What do I mean by that? It's self-anointed. It has an ointment that's poured forth. The name is so anointed that the devils tremble when they hear it. Number 4. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Did you know Pharaoh did not release Israel until he saw the blood? The blood of the Lamb. You see, it's a guarantee for a crossover. It's a guarantee for a crossover. The blood is your guarantee. It's your passport. It is your customs declaration. It is your visa. It's your official papers. Now, if you travel with us to Africa or some other nation, you're going to have your visa. You have to have your shot records. You're going to have your passport. And you don't leave your passport and your visas in your room for somebody to steal. You keep it on yourself. Why? Because you need it to get out of where you just went into. And without it, you're not getting out without a big headache. When we go in, I register with the U.S. Embassy. They know I'm already there. I'm making declaration. The blood is like my passport. It is like my official documentation of authority that says you can cross over this boundary because you've been authorized. What's the boundary? What did Israel have to cross over? They had to cross out of a land of not enough. Everybody say not enough. And the blood brought them out of what? Not enough. Into a land of just enough. Wait. Just enough. No. They got to the more than enough, but they went to the land of just enough. They had manna just enough for one day. But the blood brought him from the land of not enough. Not enough what? Not enough straw. Not enough mud. Not enough bricks. Not enough freedom. Not enough liberty. But the blood brought him out. In the process of deliverance, you may come from not enough to just enough. And wonder, where is God? And get upset when you don't have anything to drink. And want to go back to not enough, because at least there you had something to drink. But a deliverance is a person who understands the blood will bring you across the borders. Because what happened? They went the land of not enough, say it with me, not enough, to just enough, to more than enough. You're on your way to more than enough. More than enough. But you might just have to get water out of a rock in the process. You may have to eat some manna. You may have to see the Red Sea open. You may have to see God's hand in your deliverance. That's the best part. That's the best part. When God shows himself strong. He said, take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel comes, he will pass over so you can cross over. Church, your deliverance tonight, according to Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 to 13. He said, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare, I will restore double to you. For I bent Judah my bow and fitted the bow with Ephraim and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Shout double! Because of the blood of your covenant. You and I are on our land, way to the land of more than enough. It don't even look like we got enough now. We talk about more than enough. I don't know. This blood doesn't work. Shh. That's why he had to tell the Israelites not to talk when they walked around Jericho. Until the blood applied, Pharaoh didn't release the Israelites. Number five. Everybody say, your mouth is a weapon. It was not created for grumbling and complaining, but for and raining. Let's say that one more time. You got it, though. This is pretty good. I've only said that a few times. You guys got it down. All right. My mouth is not for grumbling and complaining, but rather for ruling and reigning. And it's also more used for more than just eating and drinking. Because I think as believers, We got that part down pretty good. Chicken dinners, you know, after church and going up to the get ice cream and all that stuff. But it's more than eating and drinking, right? What is it for? It's your weapon of choice. Psalm 81, verses 10 to 12. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But, he said, my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I have gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. It is not just for grumbling and complaining or eating and drinking. Even in the New Testament, Luke chapter 21 and verse 15, the Bible says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or even resist. A mouth. Do you ever hear anybody when they say, boy, she's so mouthy? What does that mean? She's always got something to say. Well, get mouthy as a Christian, all right? We need to fill our mouths with his voice. Why is that important? Because until your enemy, please, let's read this together. Until your enemies hear you, they will not obey you. Parents say this all the time. Did I tell you to clean up your room? Did you hear me? Yeah, we heard you. Then why aren't you doing it? Oh, what'd you say? Your enemies, no one will obey a command until they hear the command. And your enemies will not obey you until they hear you. Psalm 18, here's the scripture. Verse 44, as soon as they hear of me, they what? And the foreigners do what? And the foreigners what? Fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. There's something hiding out in your life that will not be exposed until they hear you give the command. Go back to the verse 44, please. I want to see this one more time because this is a vital truth and I'm just whisking through these things. As soon as they hear of me, not you, not your church, not your favorite preacher, not your favorite pet doctrine, until they hear of me. That means you and I, if we're going to walk in deliverance, have to know him, because you can't talk of somebody you don't know. Till they hear of me. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about him. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's my deliverer, my healer. He's my comfort. Long as they hear of him, they will obey him. Your mouth and my mouth must be filled with his word. Number 5, 6, the anointing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says, but you have what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know that David was never defeated? The factor of the anointing kept David victorious in battle. Psalm 89 says this, I found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. You know, I've got a message for that which is oppressing you. I'm anointed. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. In other words, God says, when the anointing is on her, you better watch out. And the anointing was on David. And God said, because the anointing is on him, I will establish him, strengthen him. The enemy will not outwit him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. He will be beaten down his foes and plague those who hate him. And his faithfulness and his mercy, my mercy shall be with him. and I will exalt his authority on the earth. So it's more than see my tie, tie my tie, let me drive my Hyundai. I'm anointed. I'm an anointed man of God. I'm anointed. I'm anointed when I'm feeling great, and I'm anointed when I'm even ornery. I'm anointed ornery. I'm not going to say that I'm never ornery, but I'm still anointed while I'm ornery. I'm anointed. And because I'm anointed, I'm able to defeat that which is oppressing me. Psalm 105, verse 15. You know what this anointing does? It makes you a rock of offense. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. In other words, anything that touches you, you break. Because that's what anointing does. It breaks the yoke and it lifts the burden. So you've got to tell the devil, look, I mean, I'm going to give you fair warning. You better get out and get out while you can. Because I'm anointed and I'm about to break you. I don't feel like it, Pastor. I feel so defeated. Listen now. You better pick up your weapon of faith. Yeah, I know, but God wouldn't do that for me. You better pick up your weapon of the word. You got to know who you are, where you are, and the value that you have. You got to know that. That's a weapon, you see, against this oppression that the enemy has brought to you. You say, yeah, I know, but, you know, I just, the blood will release you, and it'll take you through a process of not enough, just enough, more than enough. Have faith in God. Fill your mouth with the word until the devil hears you. He won't obey you. What are you saying? What are you telling him? You know, I have to really watch myself sometimes because, you know, I'll say something and I'll say something that's not God's word. We all do that on occasion. You know, we're not perfect. I'll say something and it's like it just makes Tina irritable. She still loves me, but she's like irritated at me. Why are y'all looking at me like that? Oh, I know. You thought I was perfect. Ha! But, you know, that's kind of where we are, isn't it? When you hear something that's not of faith, that doesn't equate with the value that the word places on a life, don't you tell me that that thing in that womb is a fetus and a piece of, no, it's got value. God knew it from, see, that's why it irritates us. That's why it gets our ire up. That's why we're deliverers. Oh my God, that's what it is. We're deliverers. Now I get it. God says, I'm going to come down and deliver. God sent you and me to deliver. We are like a Moses in a generation. And don't try to do it on your own. Don't go there and whoop on an Egyptian and kill him and bury him in the sand. Don't do that. You might spend 40 years in the backside of a desert. I'm trying to spare you some time. But God's called us to look at the devil and say, let my people go. That's who we are. We're all deliverers. Mighty deliverer. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for a church full of deliverers. That's why we can't stand to see oppression. We can't stand to see people devalued. It kills us. It breaks our heart to see them starving and naked and imprisoned and on drugs. It bothers us because we're deliverers. Nobody ought to live like that. If you're not a deliverer, you don't really care. It's like, not my problem, you know. It's the way it is, you know. There's poor going to be always with you. Somebody has to be naked. Somebody has to live under a bridge. Somebody has to live without. There's 1 billion people on this planet tonight that are hungry. 1 billion. I heard that this morning. I think it was... And it's been with me all day. It's been like a weight. I said, God, stop it. I don't want to hear that. 1 billion. What am I supposed to do? And I was eating supper. I was eating peaches out of a can. came to me again. 1 billion hungry people on the earth. 1 billion. And I'm looking at this and I'm eating this peach, thinking, God, I don't deserve to eat this peach. Why have you done this to me? Why do I care? Why does it bother me to see gangs of teens on the street? Why does it bother me to hear of another drive-by? Why? Well, it's just a 16-year-old kid. So what? They die all the time. Forget about it. Somebody could have delivered him or that family. Why do you even care? I sometimes wish I didn't. Especially when I'm trying to choke the Egyptian myself. And God said, you better learn how to pick up the wheel and choose your weapon, because that's the only way you're going to bring freedom to this generation. And so tonight's meeting is not so much me praying for you for deliverance as it is for me to pray for you that you would walk as a deliverer. And that's what I felt like the Lord said. And it is an awesome responsibility. On the interim, of course, there's deliverance here for you too. No matter what you're facing, there's freedom in this place. Put that tune on. I just want you to close your eyes.
The Spirit of the Lord. I
just want you to close your eyes with me.
There is freedom.
The anointing and the word of God. My mouth.
Where the Spirit of
my faith.
The Lord is.
The blood.
There is freedom.
Jesus, I'm praying for that tonight, God, in this room. If you're tired
and you are thirsty. There is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, there is freedom.
Lift your hands up.
Everybody say, freedom.
Your spear. Extend your faith to
Jesus. Shine upon us tonight.
Yeah.
Falling on every face.
There is freedom.
There is freedom.
Freedom for the junkie. Come on, freedom. Stand up with me and lift those hands in worship.
Jesus reigns in this place. It's not about the music, Lord. It's about
Come on, he reigns
Jesus.
In your house. He reigns in your future. He reigns in your marriage. devil, you've got to go now, now, now. No more oppression. We're coming out. Coming
upon us, Lord.
Bring your freedom, Jesus.
Bring your freedom, Lord.
Bring your freedom, Jesus.
Bring your freedom, Lord.
Freedom
reigns in this place. Songs of love and deliverance and hope. Showers of mercy and grace surround us tonight, oh Lord. Falling on every face. Oh, we sing, Lord. It's your freedom, Lord. It's your freedom, Lord. It's your freedom, Lord. Deliver us, oh Lord, by your blood. Jesus reigns in this place. The enemy is fleeing.
Say the name Jesus. Say the name Jesus. Say the name Jesus. Oh, there is
freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom in this place, and freedom in this place, where the Spirit of the Lord is,
where the Spirit of
the
Lord
is freedom. Right here tonight. Tonight, if you just need that touch.
If you're tired and you are thirsty.
You're tired and you're thirsty. Oh, come to Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you. Oh, if you want that prayer, you need prayer, you can just come to the front. Our elders are going to pray for you. Elders, come on. Oh, there's freedom. Come on, church. This is your moment to reach out. Hey.
Freedom reigns in this place.
Why don't you come for prayer? Come on.
Showers of mercy and grace. Falling on every face,
there is freedom. Oh, there is freedom.
Jesus, Jesus reigns in this place.
Come on, you gotta say the name. What are you doing when you say the name? Man, I'm releasing an ointment into the air when I say that name, that name, that name, that name.
Oh,
there is freedom.
There is freedom. There is freedom.
Come on, somebody worship him like you really want to worship him. Oh, yes, Jesus. You want to come for prayer tonight and say, Lord, make me a deliverer in a generation. Yeah. And I want you to move from where you are. Come up to one of these brothers or sisters and say, just lay hands on me. I'm going to be a deliverer in my generation. Yeah, I'm going to be a deliverer in my generation. I know now why I can't live with the oppression. I know now why, God, you put it in my spirit.
Come and fall upon us, Lord. Fall upon us, Lord. Bring your freedom, Lord. Bring your freedom, Lord. Bring your freedom, Lord. Bring your freedom, Lord. Freedom reigns in this place. Songs of love and deliverance.
rain come down, Lord. Oh, yes, let rain come down, Jesus.
So, Father, right now we take authority, Lord. We take authority of false identity. Father, we may have done the things they said we have done, but we are not what we've done. I thank you today, God, we take authority over false identity. Lord God, there are no losers in this room. There are no losses in this room. There are, oh God, no perpetrators in this room. There are no carnal appetite generation, Father, after the lust of this. There's nobody like that in this room, Lord. We may have done those things, but Lord, we have not become those things, and we take hold of the weapon of the blood. We take hold of the weapon of the blood, and we say, because of the blood, Lord, we're leaving the land of not enough. God, we're on our way to more than enough. And I thank you, Jesus, for the victory and liberty tonight, God. We come in agreement, Lord, right now, Father. Hallelujah. That marriage that's been oppression, that's been an oppression, oh God. Maybe that circumstance of divorce, maybe that abandonment that we have experienced, maybe that encroachment upon our own personal being, the people that have touched our bodies, the people that have done things to our bodies, the things that they have put into our bodies, the things that we have put into other people's bodies. Lord, we pray tonight deliverance, rescue, and freedom in the name of Jesus. And we thank you tonight, Lord, from every thought. We take captive every thought, oppressive thoughts, depressive thoughts, words that we have spoken, we take authority over, we deliver it. The deliverer, Jesus is our deliverer, and he is in this room tonight, and we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. A generation is being delivered, oh Father, from a mentality to philosophy of life. God, we today say thank you. Make them deliverers. Father, that they would go into the generation and bring people out from under the oppression of a heavy taskmaster tonight, Lord. And we as a church accept our responsibility, Lord. Hallelujah. Turn that up a little bit, brother. Just worship him with me for a minute. Oh, freedom.
Nobody's looking at you tonight.
Come on, Jesus.
Nobody's looking at you tonight. The eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro throughout the earth, seeking a heart that's completely his. Jesus, you reign in this place.
Come on, it's just you and Jesus.
The showers of mercy and grace. Sing it to me. Falling on every face.
There is freedom. Thank you, Lord.
Freedom.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just bask in his freedom for a minute.
Showers of mercy.
You're free tonight. You're free to make free.
Falling on every face. There is freedom.
Jesus. There is freedom. There is freedom.
There is freedom.
There is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
there is gonna be complete and total freedom. Let this church be free, Lord. Let every member be free, Lord. Let every marriage be free, Lord. Let every child be free, Lord. Every teen be free, Lord.
If you're tired and you're thirsty,
we give you praise, give you glory,
there is
we
freedom.
Honor you. Come on, one last time. Can we just worship it with it? Come on.
Freedom reigns in this place.
This is our last worship. Come on, this is our last praise.
Oh, showers of mercy and grace falling on every face.
Oh, Jesus,
there is freedom.
I just proclaim that over the house tonight, the freedom of the Lord, that you and I tonight have been sanctioned and commissioned as deliverers. And even though we too, like Moses, has grown up in the house of slavery, God will use that enslavement and entrapment to burden our hearts for a generation who is yet under the heavy hand of a taskmaster. So as we dispatch from this place tonight, we go into the highways and the byways, and we rescue and we release, because God has come down to deliver. So I bless you tonight. I bless you in your spirit, and I bless you in your soul. I bless you in your body. In Jesus' name. You live right, love everybody, and pray hard. And Sunday, pray with me. The message that I'm going to be sharing is going to be very personal to a generation. So pray with me. It's about Tobiah. God gave me an insight about him. Did you know the reason why the high priest gave him room is because of a soul tie. Tobiah married into the family. And many times we allow things to come into our life because emotions get best of us. And it brings potential destruction. We're going to talk about that. And I just want you to be praying with me over the next few days. We love you all so much. Be safe on your way home and love one another, will you, on your way out? Greet somebody you don't know and let them know they are welcome. All right? God bless you all. Freedom reigns in this place. Yeah? Come on, put it back on. Not real loud, but just put it back on. Yeah, freedom reigns in this place. We love you all so much.